All right. This is the Waste Diversion Collections and Education Subcommittee of ESAC. Today is August 2nd, 2022. people who are here are me, Margo Garcia, Chris. Roll call.
Chris Yarder present, and I understand Yolanda is showing up a little later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And Margo, okay. And Pat Tapia has just joined us. So,
and it's the third.
Today is what?
The third.
Okay, you're right. Tomorrow's the fourth. Sorry, make a correction on that.
That's okay.
August 3rd. Don't want to confuse the poor person who has to write these minutes up. All right, I don't have an agenda in front of me. I did have something I wanted to show you for the chairman's report. I'm not organized. Okay, hang on just a sec.
Good afternoon, everyone. Sorry, running late. My computer was moving slowly.
Really?
Yeah. I think sometimes it does better with the video off sometimes. I mean, since everybody's on there at one time, it kind of makes it tough sometimes.
Yeah. Margo's going to look for something.
Oh.
Yes. He should. All right. Here I am.
Hey, Margo.
Hi. So people keep trying to throw this away, so I've been fighting for it. So this is a cup that they're using around here. You may have all seen it before, which is to rethink, and it comes from the ski resort that's here. Another is reduce, and of course it is compostable. And what's interesting is it's put out by Coca-Cola. It's got their bottle here, and then they have a long statement in the shape of a Coke bottle about how this is compostable paper cup by Graphic Packaging and blah, 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 blah. So compostable only in a commercial composting facility where available. Anyway, you know, we've talked about trying to work with Fourth Avenue Fair and a lot of other people to get them out of the plastic, though maybe there's a new use for the plastics. But I thought it was interesting that they're making a big point of this compostable cup. So I don't know. Are you guys aware of this particular brand or?
No, because if it's even if it's compostable, but if it's only compostable in an industrial facility, we don't have it available.
So it wouldn't compost in our composting facility down at Los Reales?
You would probably need like an anaerobic digester or something.
Okay.
And with all the ink, we wouldn't want to put it in our compost, right? Or do you think that would
Well, matter? I don't know. It's
if they use soy ink.
It could be soy ink. It's compostable paper cup uses a plant-based NGO lining and paper from responsibly managed forests. This cup also meets ASTM D6400 test standards for compostability and is certified by the Biodegradable Products Institute. You can blah, blah, blah. What does it say about the ink? Okay, it just says plant-based NGO lining and paper. So it'd be interesting to find out more about it. Anyway, I thought it was interesting that here in California, it seems to be a big push to use these things. All right. Next on our list must be director's report.
Do we do minutes?
Oh, did we do minutes? No, I didn't do minutes because I don't have the agenda. the minutes from the last meeting, were they circulated?
Yes. Chris? Yes. Okay. They were the June ones. Mm-hmm. I didn't find anything that needed corrected.
Okay. If there were no corrections, minutes are stand and are adopted. Okay.
Just speaking, Lucy or Brittany, if you're on, can you put the agenda items up so Margo has those to look at.
Brittany's usually very good about that.
Yeah, they can usually share a screen.
You want the LAR or the agenda?
The agenda. And then we'll need to have the...
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah. So we did the minutes for June 1st.
Yeah.
Okay. And I did it. All right. Next is waste diversion recycling report. Can you put that up too, please?
Sure.
I have it up. Do you want me to share?
Yeah, it's I up. Could stop sharing.
Yeah, we're just trying to pack up and get out of here, and it's a big job. Close yeah. down, please.
So can you all see it now?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so, you know, the last 2 months we have had some drops in tonnages. And also some drops in the revenue, the price per commodity, except for HDPE, which is still very high. But like rigid plastics dropped quite a bit. You know, we ended up paying more to the MRF than
50,000.
Yeah, than, you know. But our contamination rate was up, and, you know, the ACR went down. So that's probably due to the drop in, you know, the tonnages plus the market prices.
So what you said...
I just think, you know, the
aluminum continuing... Drop.
Yeah, aluminum. Yeah. But I mean, we don't get very much aluminum anyway. But
HDPE actually went up.
Yeah,
from 955 to 1085.
Right, and the tonnages were up a little bit, but only a little bit. But a lot of the tons. Dropped. OCC went down quite a bit. The ONP dropped a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So
the first one is mostly the cardboard. So that's
right.
People were ordering less.
Well, that's probably just due to like the inflation. People, all the companies are saying people are cutting back on the non-essentials.
Yeah.
So. What was our contamination rate?
Well, it was 28, almost 29.
I saw that and I just went, oh, jeez.
So, is that a new audit or what is that?
Yeah, we had an audit. Well, not between the two. Yeah, I guess we did do an audit in April. We're due for another. We have had another one. We are having a new one on August 17th.
Okay. Last time we had this discussion, which was part of the discussion about the contract, was to look at how the audit was being done. What's happening with that?
So we have been working on changes, amendments to the contract. Mm-hmm. I could probably fill in a little bit there, but we are wanting to get that over to Republic because I'm sure they'll come back with, you know, we're going to make some proposals for some changes to the contract, and I'm sure they'll come back with some other suggestions. So we'll see.
I thought that was supposed to happen last month.
Yeah, but it has not. We've extended it through September, I believe.
Wow. Is it the city? Is it the city attorney's holding it up, or?
We I will tell you that we have taken a much more in-depth look at everything mm-hmm. for this contract amendment because, you know, we just feel like we have to be much more familiar with all the ins and outs of it and how it impacts what we pay as a whole. So I think, you know, we're taking some more time, but it's because we're really trying to have a very, very clear idea of how all these things will affect what we pay. I think our goal is to make sure that it's a partnership and, you know, that everybody's got, you know, a risk, a level of risk, not just the city.
Okay. So is it going to get done this month or not? Hi, Yolanda. Welcome. Pat, were you going to add something?
No, I was just going to add on to what Christina said. I've taken a little bit longer on this, but also because we want to make sure this is the last amendment that we're doing for the next 5 years. It seems like every time it's a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, we're like, okay, can't keep doing amendments. We want to have one final clean amendment. Our contract expires in 5 years. So that's why we're taking a little bit longer to make sure we got a good amendment and a good agreement in place for the next 5 years.
And how do you define good?
and like Christina said, more of a partnership than what we feel is a little bit one-sided right now.
Mm. Yeah, I know we've all thought it was pretty one-sided, which was done to help them get through a difficult time. Seems to me it's, you know, time to.
And we're past that difficult time.
They're doing pretty well financially, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
At least on the stock market. So, all right. Any other questions, Yolanda?
Well, I just had one. Is a five-year contract a good idea if they decide to start underperforming? Aren't you still tied into that?
We're tied into it anyways. I mean, we're still, that's just the last 5 years of the 50-year initial agreement.
So you typically have five-year contracts then?
No, this one was for 15 years when we first initiated the contract for the MRF. So this is the last 5 years. We've been into it 10 years now.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, that was to get them to build it. You know, you had to give them some stability because they were putting a lot on the line at the time.
Yeah, that's pretty much standard. I mean, you're looking at that. When they're going to, you know, when they're going to put in the capital to build a new building and start up a new program, they took on all the capital. And to recoup the capital, it was a 15-year agreement.
Okay. Any other questions about the... what's happening? All righty. Should we move on to the next item?
Is that me or is that Christina? Christina, are you done?
Well, that was the waste aversion. Are we on to public outreach? I can do that real quick.
Okay.
Summer time is always very slow. right now I'm planning for the next Zero Waste event, which will be November 5th. It's going to be at the Catalina United Methodist Church parking lot. So a little bit more central. Mm-hmm. Most of our partners from before are on board. So we'll be putting out information soon, at least save the dates. And then the other thing I'm working on right now is trying to get ready for all of the new year information that we have to put out. So brush and bulky notifications go out in November. will have a the HHW schedule go out. November, December is tree cycle with holiday schedule, and January will be the recycling pickup calendar. So it's just a lot of information to pull together and make sure all the dates and collections are right. Because like with Brush and Bulky, we have to actually send out 26 different pieces to all the people in the different areas. Wow. So, and one of the things we've had some issues with is just making sure that we have up-to-date information as new areas have been added. So we're just trying to start early. We've already ordered supplies because last year we ran into problems with supplies like paper and cling material and stuff not being available.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get it. And this year it's envelopes that are a problem. Yeah. Kind of crazy. So just working on all that. And then, of course, all that information has to be uploaded into Recycle Coach as well.
Christina, when you're redoing or when you're looking at the Brush Bulky information, is there any way you can highlight, do not put items out 2 weeks prior? People are, we're not getting picked up, I think, till October, and people are already starting to put things out on the sidewalk.
Yeah, and I know we
is there any way you can put down if they do, they're subject to some kind of a ticket?
Pat, what do you think? Because I that would, you know, we don't really have.
Isn't that illegal dumping?
Yeah, we put that in there. We already put the notice in there. I mean, it's gone on. That's been an issue for years. Every notice we put out there, don't put it out to, you know, a week or 2 weeks prior to collection.
Right. But in order to get their attention, can you just add, or you might maybe subject to a fine?
Yeah, we'll look at that. Let us look at that as how far as, because I think we could put that anyways. And I actually thought at one time it had the city ordinance or AD that was on there that would consider that almost kind of like littering. So let me find out and see what code we would utilize as far as subject to a fine.
The only thing is it's in chapter 15, but it's not specified.
Right.
Okay.
So if I'm going to put that in there, I got to be able to mention a code or a violation that there would be fined about.
What about code enforcement?
That's what I'm wondering. Let me look into that and see if there's something I could reference to in that.
Okay.
Good. Yeah, there's cases for that with code enforcement.
I just want to see some teeth into this, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Because it aggravates the out of me.
Well, and also the problem is, too, is this happens at a lot of our rentals when people just move out. You know, they just...
And it blocks the sidewalks for people, especially right now with kids going to school and seniors want to get out and walk a little bit because they're feeling isolated still. So it becomes dangerous because then everybody has to walk into the street.
Yeah. All right. If there isn't something on it, maybe we should start organizing to get something put into the code that has that information. So Yolanda, thanks for bringing that up and reminding us. So, Pat, I hope you can check it out. And if it isn't, maybe we need to, this committee can suggest an amendment to the code to go forward.
Okay.
To get on that case, because it is a problem everywhere in the city. And so.
Thank you. All right.
Next. So, Christina, that is a lot to get organized, and good luck with keeping it all straight.
Well, we just try to start early and get it, you know, I just try to stay on top of everybody that needs to get me the information. Right. I can be a nag.
Good. Sometimes they're important. Pat, are you next? Collections?
I am. And I actually have a few minutes because I have to jump on another call at 4:00. So just And mine are pretty brief, actually. A lot of them, I think, are going to be recaps for the following meeting. You put them on the agenda again. The landfill support, I don't have a lot of update on that. We're still meeting and talking about that and finalizing the plans. A lot of it is just where the roads and entrance and stocking of, you know, where we're going to stockpile all the soil that we pull out of there for the excavation. All that is still just being reviewed at this time. So I don't have a lot of details, just that we're continuing to talk about that. The biggest thing is, you know, being a good neighbor at the landfill, because I know they're getting ready. They already broke ground out there to build another subdivision of housing just east of Los Reales. Wow. So, you know, that's, we just want to be a good neighbor out there. As far as the homeless camp protocol update, that's a pretty hot topic right now. We've just hired more employees. We have 4 more ESEOs and 4 more ESWs that we're going to be standing up a cleanup crew for homeless camps. It's at the early stages right now. We're working out with the homeless camp protocol team. Sarah Landis has pretty much kind of been spearheading this a little bit with the group. And we're having discussions right now and finalizing all that. What we've actually put into the homeless camp is that we're not going to be part of the outreach program, the 72-hour notice, the logging of all the homeless camps. We're going to let the homeless camp protocol team handle that. That's pretty much in their wheelhouse. What we've said is that, you know what, we are really good at cleaning up and picking up the material. That's what we do. So just once they finalize it and they reached an address and said, okay, this location is ready to be cleaned up, you send that to us and we'll schedule it and get it taken care of with these crews that we're standing up. So we're still finalizing that. We have a meeting tomorrow to discuss it a little bit further and that point. But that's kind of a real brief update on the homeless camp protocol, because you could tell they're just growing all over the place. Tucson, we all know it. It's no surprise to anybody that it's probably the worst we've ever seen in Tucson ever. It's tough. And I think every city is just trying to find that solution. And I don't know if there is one, but trying to work with it to get the areas cleaned up, as well as find housing for some of the homeless. It's a pretty challenging situation.
Pat, and I don't know if you know this, but they did affect Tucson Water, which then affects all of us, because they managed to tap into Tucson Water's supply near Valencia and Park, and it drained it so quickly that the reservoir was draining.
Wow.
It was so noticeable that Tucson Water is like, hey, what's going on? And they found that huge homeless camp with running water. Mm. So you might want to bring that up tomorrow for your meeting.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't even hear about that. I didn't know about that. Where was that at?
That happened last Thursday at Valencian Park. I happened to be having breakfast with our Operations Division South captain and one of the lieutenants when they got a call from Tucson Water with pictures of this huge camp in water and whatnot.
Oh, okay. Yep. I'll make sure to mention that tomorrow morning.
And so are you just meeting with TPD, or is code enforcement in with your meetings, or about the homeless?
It's a whole group. The homeless this is just for the city initiative on getting the areas cleaned up.
Okay.
So Brandy is involved. Yeah. Brandy from housing.
Okay.
So you got Brandy from housing, ES, you got Jack Jesslyn from police, Sarah Landis for the CMO's office.
Okay.
Shelly Jen from transportation, DTM.
Yeah. You have anybody housing and community development?
That's Brandy.
Oh, that's Brandy.
Oh, there's Brandy, and then there's also another. I'm trying to think of her name. She's new there. Her name's Allie. I think it's Allie is her name.
Do you have anybody from transportation and from just community attending these meetings?
Yeah, that's Shally and Brandy. Shally Jen from DTM Transportation.
What about neighborhood leaders?
No, this is just for the, yeah, just for the department on standing up a cruise and how we're going to handle within the internal flow on what are we going to do in the homeless camps once they come in and what's the flow going to be on getting them cleaned up.
Okay. We know it's a big issue.
It is. The last thing I had on mine, 2 minutes real quick, electric vehicle update. I think you all wanted to know about the electric truck and the batteries and all that information, more so on the batteries. I don't have any more information on that. We're still waiting to hear back from Battle Manufacturers and Motors on giving us a little bit more insight on that. I just know that, you know, we're queued to order one and have one, but we're still 13, 14 months out from even receiving one.
That would be an electric trash collecting truck?
Yes.
Yeah.
We ordered a truck and it came in at, I want to say $735,000 for the truck.
Okay. And you say it's 12 to 13 months out?
Yeah, okay. 13 to 14 probably. Okay. It's just so hard to tell right now. It's hard to say. You just don't know.
Yeah. And they don't know either, I'm sure. Yeah. Depending on parts and lots of other things. Okay.
But I think we'll keep that on the radar. I want to keep it on the radar because I think it's a good conversation to have on batteries, on what we're going to do with those batteries and you know, the life expectancy of these batteries. So.
Yep. That's always been an issue.
Yep. So I apologize. I could see the meeting already started on the other one. So I apologize. Okay. I need to drop off. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Pat.
Okay. Thanks, Pat. Nice
to thank you for
joining us.
Stay cool.
Yeah, I'm trying.
You are cool.
All right. I guess next is code enforcement. Lori?
Hi, Lori.
Hello. Good afternoon, everyone. Well, let's see what we have here. Code enforcement cases. What we're up to right now is 4,430 cases as of today. It's pretty on par with past years at the same time, especially since we're past mid-year. Typically, we can do 8,000 to 10,000 cases a year. So that's pretty reasonable. So maybe even a little low, but... So that's where we're at there. New hire update. We're still at the three new code enforcement inspectors, looking to hire two more. And I hope we're able to hire even more than that, but I don't know when or where that's going to happen. But in the next couple months, hopefully we'll start a recruitment for two more.
So those haven't been advertised yet?
No, not the two. But the three new inspectors have been on since May. They're fully trained and they're focusing on property maintenance issues. So that should help catch us up on those because we are experiencing more cases with like diversions or emergencies. But, you know, like the homeless camps we were just talking about, there's so many more reports of that where we get involved. Private property, the accumulation of refuse we have to get involved with and having that cleaned up or asking the owners to clean it up. And then also transit, sometimes they're setting more fires, it seems like. We're getting more emergency call outs at night or trespassing, you know, breaking into vacant houses. So we are involved in that, our on-call inspectors, but also during the day. So... anytime you get diverted to something like that, that's a high priority. It takes away from everything else.
So has the big weed stuff started yet? Or
it hasn't been too bad. And we do have the weed protocol where we issue a courtesy letter first. And actually, an environmental services supervisor will follow up in 2 weeks. If it remains and they generate a code enforcement case and we assign a code enforcement inspector to go out and be a little bit more heavy handed on that. you know, where we can do it.
I'm glad we got
days.
It back.
Mm-hmm. It's been pretty effective, I think. But I know some parts of Tucson really haven't gotten a lot of rain until just recently over the weekend. You know, I know where I live on the east side, it has been pretty dry. So I don't think the reports of weeds have been too bad, but I think we're going to start getting them now. And then the tire cleanup, I think this is on a recent case we had at 4301 East Irvington. And if I can share my screen, I'll kind of show you what happened. We got this property cleaned up. I'm going to go ahead and do that. And let me know when you can see it. I'm on the hub page right now. But...
Oh, there.
Okay. See the mount?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, geez. What a hazard.
Right. Yeah, so this is, again, 4301 East Irvington. So that's the 2021 layer. So even in 2010, it looked like that. So, you know, we've been dealing with this for a couple of years. But we took the owners to court. They sold it and to take the new owners to court.
Of course.
Finally, I'm trying to pull over a picture here. Hold on. There we go. And that's the property as of the 27th of July. Inspector Valdez was handling that case, working with Tucson Fire as well. And you can see it's all the tires are gone, and that's, you know, I really applaud him for doing that. That's a hard job. So
was that reported to you guys? Was that reported to you, to code enforcement, or did you find it on the mess, the tire mess?
How did it come to your attention?
I'm getting bad reception. I'm going to.
How did this case come to your attention?
Stop sharing, man. That'll help.
How did the case come?
I have to look because it's been two separate.
Okay.
It's probably either referred from Tucson Fire or it was reported by a constituent. Let me see if I can answer that. Give me like a second. I can tell you.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to live close to that.
Wow. What did they think they were doing with all those tires?
Yeah, I've asked that question where they were able to take them, but they probably had to take them out of the city. Looks like it came from the agency, so it probably was a referral from like Tucson Fire originally. Because of the fire hazard.
Yes.
You have no idea what they thought they were going to do with all those tires? I mean, what was their excuse for having them there?
I don't know. I think they just thought they were going to sell them or something. You know.
Hmm. Yeah. And where did they go? Did they go to a landfill?
Yeah, like I said, I think they went out of town. I was trying to inquire about where they might have gone to because I know our landfill would kind of limit that. And I think they had to take it out. I don't think there was another facility in town that would take that many tires. And so this was a process too. So there may have been a facility in Phoenix that took them, but I can't be sure on that.
Amazing.
Right.
All right. Any other exciting things? What's happening with Yolanda? You're supposed to ask here about our food trucks.
Food vendors, yeah.
Lori, what's happening with food trucks?
Well, I know we have a recent case. It wasn't on the agenda, so I don't have that. But and we can put on an agenda for next time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then.
But
also,
I do know.
Yeah, go ahead.
I do know, like specific case. I think it was down on 12th and Drexel, maybe. Yeah, I know we have active enforcement there, but I apologize as it wasn't on the agenda, so I didn't have it prepared.
Sure. Okay. We'll ask to put it on next time.
Yes, if you could do that, and I could start sending you pictures of, you know, originally the food trucks were just supposed to be temporary locations, no improvements to the ground or the lots. But people are actually now doing electrical lights, total pavement,
right.
Not necessarily removing. My neighbor has a food truck that, you know, he continues to drain his crap down the street. And he's located, his location for his food truck is off of Park and Bilby. And when I went by there the other day, it's like, holy cow, you know, this is a concern because I like to support those that are actually paying rent and supporting the neighborhood, not these food trucks that don't have to pay rent, but they're still improving illegally the grounds around them, and hanging mm-hmm. like party lights and whatnot. So, and it's happening all over. You see an empty lot one day and the next day it's all paved, electric, and permanent.
Right. And a lot of that, especially the more extensive ones, like I think we have one, I want to say it's like 22nd, near 22nd and Pantano. It used to be a gas station. And they're kind of making like a food truck roundup. Same thing, lights, electrical, tables, a pretty big production. There was several parts there. Yeah. And what the owner needs to do is get an approved development plan. So if you get approved for being like a food truck roundup type of business, you know, food service, then in theory those trucks would be allowed to be on there, outside of the normal peddler requirement. Like on a vacant lot, I think they have to be, I think like 200 feet from residential, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Well, oh, I am surprised that TEP hasn't complained about the food truck directly underneath his location. And again, we're talking about Drexel and 12th on this one, but there's at least five.
Let's hope the food truck's on the next item of agenda.
Okay, sorry.
A reminder that we're getting off agenda. So food trucks is definitely on the next agenda. So, Lori, we can even discuss some of these cases because I know they've come back several times. Yolanda's mentioned them. So for the next agenda, we'll put that on. Okay. What else do I have? Brittany, what else is next on the agenda?
Lucy.
Let me see real quick. That was the last item.
The last item. Okay. So then is items for the next agenda?
Yes.
All right.
I would like to, Lori, I'd like to get an update on what's going on with IAPC. I listened to their meeting the end of June, and it just feels like it's just so messed up. It just doesn't seem like it's getting put together. And about halfway through the recording, I just freaked out because the chair said, well, we don't know what code enforcement wants to get out of this. So I'd like to hear.
Yeah, and I think Pat might have some information on that. I've only heard part of the last meeting that maybe, I think it was about 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And I hadn't heard anything since. I think they're close, but we can put it on the agenda.
Yeah.
Okay.
And put that on the agenda. That's the internal audit. Report. Yeah. Okay, the food trucks. Let's see, we want to continue with the things that we heard today, the landfill with the cells.
I've been Lori knows I've been having trouble with business and home in a residential neighborhood. So maybe we could talk about that a little bit here.
Let's see, what's it called?
Home occupation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That comes up every so often. Usually the worst is the people who are doing the reupholstering because it's so noisy. Okay, home occupations, food trucks, internal audit report, the landfill.
And batteries, electric batteries.
Recycling, electric batteries, and continuing with the MRF reports. And we haven't heard anything from household hazardous waste for a while, so HHW, maybe we need a quarterly update on that. All right. Anything else? All right. Well, it sounds like a good agenda for next time, which will be in, oh my gosh, September. Life keeps moving along. All right. Thank you all for coming. Any call to the audience? Any audience? Don't see any today. Maybe we should also add a update on the plastics.
Yeah.
Program. plus the Ward 6 plastic program. Because it was advertised as being working with ES and with Tankersley by Fusion and so forth. So let's hear how it's going from the ES perspective and what they're trying, if there are any impacts with the MRF, and definitely an up going down that MRF amendments. All right. Anything else for the good of the order? Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for coming and for putting up with me not having an agenda. Our printer doesn't work very well, and I can't make it work from my computer, so it gets very complicated. And how is your shoulder doing? I didn't get to ask you at the beginning.
Oh, wait. We're
at the meeting's adjourned.
Meeting's over.
I'll stop the recording.
Okay. Yeah. I.